Welcome to the Words of Grace podcast. In these podcasts, we seek to clarify, amplify, and apply the Sunday sermons at Grace Community Church. From time to time, we'll also discuss other topics as we consider how to live out our faith in Christ. Our desire is that the Word of God would press into your everyday life. Well, hey everybody, this is Josh.
Hello, Josh.
And that's Scott.
And I'm Scott. Hello, everybody. This is Scott.
Yeah. And we're so glad to have you back on with us. Enjoying another week getting started. Just got rained on a second ago when I was coming in.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That happened since I got in.
Yeah. Yeah. So I got a question for you, Scott.
Okay.
And that is, can you tell us about someone, like a real person in your life when you were growing up, that was a big influence on your life as a Christian?
Okay. So growing up, that would be like probably right after I became a Christian. Mm-hmm. In the next few years throughout my high school years.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the one I talk about the most is my youth pastor. His name was David Busby, and he was the youth pastor at the church where I was when I became a Christian. Mm-hmm. Very influential because of his impact of preaching and then me responding to him, to the gospel as he was preaching, to follow Christ. And then he personally brought me and a couple of other guys into a small group and did some discipleship, some training, some encouragement, that kind of stuff.
Great.
So I would say him. But there were many others. I think many of the people in my congregation who just took time to notice that I and others were new Christians, mm-hmm. High school kids, coming to faith, and they wanted to encourage us, and they did. They just let us know that they were praying for us. They would speak to us.
Yeah.
There were several teachers in the church like that, mm-hmm. and even parents around who had kids around that age. And
yep.
I'm thinking of a particular woman who would invite kids to her home with her daughter. Her daughter was in youth group, and the kids would come over.
Yeah.
My mother would do that for other high schoolers.
Yeah.
So not only the leader that was designated, but the people in my congregation who took notice of the fact that several of us came to faith in Christ, and they mm-hmm. wanted to see us grow. They wanted to see us follow Christ, and so they talked to us. They said hello. They, made sure we were provided for in the youth group and had opportunities, places to go afterwards.
Yeah.
I'm thinking particularly of a man in our church. He was a very young man at the time. He was 20, maybe 21. So that's a man, mm-hmm. but not much older than me. He just seemed so much older.
Yeah.
He took time to teach my class before I became a Christian. And I was starting to think about what it means to become a Christian. Mm. And he was one of the teachers in the church of a Sunday school class for young men, and his presence, his love for Christ came through. Mm-hmm. He was just a genuine guy, a normal guy, you know?
Yeah.
And so that was very influential, just watching a 21-year-old that I looked up to as a high school kid, or a young high, that was actually junior high. I looked up to him as someone who was, you know, someone to mm-hmm. to model my life after. People like that.
Yeah.
You know?
That's awesome. That's one thing I love about, you know, as a youth pastor, that's one thing I love to see at Grace mm-hmm. is, you know, we have some opportunities that we create through the youth group for you know, kids to get to know older people in the faith. Mm-hmm. But what I really love is when just the people in our congregation that aren't necessarily attached to a ministry in particular, mm-hmm. to students, when they see them and ask them questions and get to know them and follow up and find out about their life and encourage them. So
I think so. Most people probably are not expecting, whether they're teenagers or in their 20s or much older, they're probably not just sitting around expecting people to show interest in their faith. And when someone does and says something simple like, I'm praying for you, or here's an opportunity I'd like to help you with, or whatever.
Yeah.
It just is, it's impactful. It's encouraging.
Yeah. Well, thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, we had a great Sunday this week, and sermon was on Isaiah 62-64.
Yeah, big passage.
Yeah, so would you just unpack that for a minute, give us a little recap mm-hmm. of your sermon?
Yeah, there are four different places in those three chapters where a call to prayer or a commitment to prayer or a prayer is expressed. And there's a lot of ways to get into these passages, particularly in the prophets, mm-hmm. because they're poetic, they're prophetic, and there are different themes. And you could be a faithful preacher of them and maybe touch on various themes. Yeah. I chose to touch on the theme of fervent prayer for a visitation from the Lord, or revival, mm-hmm. or renewal. You could go by any number of words. But so I focused on that and just saw how Isaiah, and then he was calling the people as watchmen to pray regularly, ongoingly. Don't give the Lord rest. Don't give yourself rest. Call out mm-hmm. to God to do his work among his people, to establish his people, their righteousness, their salvation, their witness. Yep. Come and intervene in their situation, renew them spiritually, bring them back to the Lord. And so all those prayers were in there. So we had a sermon on praying for whatever we want to call it, revival, renewal, spiritual awakening, a visitation from God in our generation. And I think that's important. I think, you know, the Lord is sovereign and he does his work and he blesses the ordinary ministry of the church. And then at times he maybe pours out his spirit in a more evident way, and the normal means of preaching and evangelism and discipling and care, they take on greater power because of the Holy Spirit's work among us. But I think the Lord wants to do that in every generation, it seems. Again, we can't manipulate it, but we pray for it.
Yeah.
So here we are. We're alive. You know, we don't get to live in the first century. We don't get to be in Jerusalem when the Holy Spirit came at Pentecost.
That's right.
But we get to be here today in our congregation, in our city, in our nation, praying and asking God for a visitation from him to save people and draw people to himself, glorify his name. So that, anyway, I could preach on it. I don't want to preach the sermon, but that was it. Yeah.
Yeah. You said whatever you want to call it, but we landed on kind of revival. When I was growing up, you had a revival, right? It was an event that your church put on and you'd show up. So can we spend just a minute talking about, like, specifically what are we talking about when we're saying revival?
Sure. Well, that's a good question to ask. What is it?
Yeah.
Revive, mm-hmm. make alive again,
right.
bring back to life. Or we could say stir life, stir up life. Renew is another thing that comes with revival. We are new, but can there be a renewal? Mm-hmm. So what happens in revival? I mean, there are great studies of this, and you can find those online and do that. But I'm talking about something pretty simple, and that is when God chooses and blesses the work of his church mm-hmm. by the power of the Holy Spirit, in a way that brings people back to him, that brings people to him in the first place, mm-hmm. spiritual awakening in a nation or a city, when it brings people back to him, maybe they've strayed, when it enlivens people who maybe have gotten cold in their faith, mm-hmm. When it brings people back to truth, maybe they've strayed. All these are forms of revival. When evangelism happens more powerfully, mm-hmm. when people are turning to the Lord and then they're living out in the marketplace in a way that starts to awaken people to reality and truth, and mm-hmm. there's a witness there, and there's some kind of better reasoning about what life is about and who God is because people are interacting as strong believers. Mm-hmm. It could look like all of that. In terms of revival, but it is a visitation from the Lord where he does a work that maybe is heightened with the ongoing ministry of the church, and it results in people's lives being changed. Now, some would say, well, isn't that the way it's supposed to be all the time? And I guess in some respects, the answer is yes. I mean, we preach and we disciple and we evangelize all the time.
Right.
And we always expect for there to be fruit because the Holy Spirit is always at work. Mm-hmm. So that's praise God for that. And then we keep praying that would grow and grow and spread.
Yeah.
So I want to be careful. I'm not saying, oh, Lord, give us a month worth of revival. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying if we look around, we can see that churches are, you know, churches are struggling, and some churches are just lifeless, mm-hmm. and Christians are floundering. And so regardless of the length of time and all that, it's just, Lord, revive them.
Yeah.
So I guess we should always be praying for revival because we always are in need of revival.
Yeah. You mentioned in your sermon that you've felt kind of burdened to pray about revival for some time.
Mm-hmm.
When did that start and how'd that start for you?
I think just reading early on in my Christian life, one of the first books I ever read was about prayer.
Mm-hmm.
The first books as a Christian was about prayer. And I think just a longing, I don't know why, I've just always had a longing to see the church, a congregation, and churches just function in a healthy way, filled with the Spirit, and there's real fruit coming from them. So I can't explain necessarily why,
mm-hmm.
but it's just been there. And yeah. So periodically throughout, so I've been doing youth ministry for 10 years, did youth ministry for 10 years, and I've been a pastor now for 31 years, so now over 40 years. I've been working for a church, on a church staff, and in some kind of ministry. And I think the whole time I've just gone through seasons of longing to see the church functioning in power and in unity and
yeah.
in purity.
Hmm.
And it does. I'm saying I've never seen it. Of course it does.
Yeah.
But I just keep longing for it.
Right.
So that's been a regular prayer. And I had to confess on Sunday, sometimes I get busy and I think, oh, if we can just keep the thing running, that's good enough.
yeah.
Not really, but it's easy to slip into that mindset. And just coming back to Lord, fill us with the Spirit, mm-hmm. you know. So it's been a regular prayer, and yeah. I'm sure it will be.
Yeah. So if we're looking for revival and praying for revival and longing for it, we're trying to see it. We're trying to identify it. What are we not looking for with revival?
Okay. When I talk about it, I'm not talking about a thing that happens just for a little while and then goes away.
Mm-hmm.
As if we're not really legitimate unless we're in that moment.
Mm-hmm.
I think, so I'm not saying, I'm not looking for that. I'm not looking for something to legitimize us. I'm not looking for something to say we're the real deal now.
Mm.
We preach the gospel, we pray, we disciple, we launch out, we send out into the world every single week. There's legitimacy in that because we're Christ's church. We've got his word, we've got the Spirit, and that's good.
Yeah.
So revival maybe would be, Lord, if we're slipping back, renew us. Or, Lord, we do pray for greater power in that in the days to come. So, but revival doesn't mean that what we're doing currently is not legitimate,
mm-hmm.
that it's not good. So we're not looking for something to prove that we're finally getting it.
Yeah, yeah.
Not. The other thing I'm not talking about is I'm not talking about just an emotional season, you know, that we get excited and get past.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been one of the criticisms of revivals in the past, is that they're highly emotional. There's a lot of enthusiasm, but it doesn't produce steadfastness. It doesn't produce real holiness in people.
Yeah.
It produces emotion for a while, but when the true tests and the temptations and the trials come, it just goes right back to nothing. So doctrine, when you know, the test of revival, if somebody brings in bad doctrine, high enthusiasm can accept it. It's like, no,
right.
We don't want that. Morality, just because people get enthusiastic about coming to sing songs and worship doesn't mean they're actually advancing in their moral purity.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't want that. So we don't want an emotionalism that's just on its own, that doesn't include real doctrine and real truth, mm-hmm. and real moral development and purity and real evangelism and ministry. So we're not looking mm-hmm. for emotion.
Yeah. So you could have emotion, mm-hmm. but the emotion wouldn't be standing by itself without a foundation.
Yeah. And what kind of emotion, you know, if the Lord, I mean, the main emotions, I guess, or emotion of the New Testament seem to be joy.
Mm-hmm.
They certainly don't seem to be frenzy.
Sure.
You know, they don't. I think people associate revivals with movements in our history where people have sort of lost control of themselves, and
right.
That's not at all what we're talking about. In fact, I've read a pastor that I've read in the past a lot in his commentaries. He He said, you know, never in the New Testament or in the whole Bible, no one ever upon the blessing of God loses control. People only lose control when they're cursed. Mm. It's like, what? You know, that's pretty strong language. You say, well, you know, the fruit of the Spirit is self-control. Mm-hmm. So we're not talking about a frenzied sort of a state.
Sure.
That's not revival.
Yeah.
We're talking about a renewal in truth, in purity, in love, in evangelism, the fruit of evangelism, a deepened discipleship, steadfastness, to a heightened degree by the Holy Spirit's visiting us mm-hmm. through what we do.
Yeah.
Yeah, preach and make disciples. Mm.
And then the main application, because you stopped all along the way in asking God to come and do these things, mm-hmm. main application point here is to pray.
Yeah.
How would you encourage us as a congregation to be praying and thinking about revival?
Well, I think the easiest way to do this, I say easy, maybe the most obvious and straightforward way to do this, is to bathe everything that we do normally in prayer. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to tell something here that I guess I can tell. I don't talk about it a lot, but like, let's take fasting, for instance. Mm-hmm. You mentioned that before we started this podcast, and this is I have no need to talk about myself in this, but when I come to church on Sunday morning, there are reasons that, you know, I don't eat a big breakfast, okay? Because I don't want to preach on a full stomach and, you know, all that. But however, I will say that it has become for me not just about not eating breakfast on Sunday. It has become for me a weekly window of prayer and fasting for our congregation. So on Sunday mornings, I am in not only sermon preaching mode, but I'm in intercessory prayer mode, and fasting during that window. For what? For the thing we do every week.
Yeah.
We're going to get hundreds of people in a room and hear the gospel and sing and worship.
Yeah.
So that the easiest, simplest, straightforward way I would encourage people in our church to pray is look at every single thing we do and bathe it in prayer and ask the Holy Spirit to fill it with his power and to use his word. So Sunday morning, every Sunday school class, I mean, every teacher, just go into those classes, bathed in prayer. Mm-hmm. Every, you know, children, youth, adult classes, everything that the youth group does, bathing it in prayer.
Yeah.
Every community group, not only praying in the group, praying before you go to the group, praying for the people in the group, praying that the Holy Spirit would use the community groups as places of prayer and care.
Hmm.
Praying for our people who are sent out every week.
Yeah.
Where are our people? Where are they? They're in businesses. They're in schools. They're in school. And they might be working at the school. They're, you know, in firms and selling insurance and IT, and they're in at ball fields, and they're in neighborhoods with friends.
Mm-hmm.
And so bathing everything that we do in prayer, that God would spiritually enliven us, and that the realities of the gospel would be a part of our lives and our ministry here, is the place to start.
Mm.
Now, there are times, I think, for extraordinary prayer.
Mm-hmm.
So like meeting together for prayer meetings in an extraordinary way. And so those are good too. And we do those from time to time. And we have done that some here at Grace. So I would say both. I'd say that's the practicality, is just bathe everything we do normally on our schedule in prayer for God to renew and revive us. And then at times we will call ourselves to special times of prayer.
Hmm. That's great. Well, yeah, thank you for sharing that. It'll help us think and fuel our prayer in the weeks coming.
Good, good. Thank you.
Yeah, well, thank you for joining us, and we'll see you next time.
Okay.